Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Lathrop Village, Michigan, and earned a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree in Communications Design from Rochester Institute of Technology. From 1973 to 1995, she had a very successful advertising, art, and film production career. She's an avid pilot, equestrian, car enthusiast, photographer, a lover of nature and animals, philanthropist, humanitarian, and author. And her latest book is entitled Thumbs. Her name, Denise Lutz. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Denise Lutz, the epitome of classiness. Denise, welcome, an honor to have you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jack. I'd like to return that favor, however.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Sure. I grew up in Lathrop Village, and I had a wonderful mother and father. My mother baked cookies. She made pot roast. She made homemade bread. My father had his own business, and he would come home every evening, and we would have dinner together, and we would sit together and speak of the happenings of the day, my father's business, and so forth. My sister was older, and so there were the three of us, and so I always felt that I was quite loved at home, and I have to say, I had a great childhood.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Mom, Denise, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
Oh, very interesting. My mother taught me that I shouldn't be a sheep. I should be a leader. My mother told me that I should set the standard instead of following the standard, and that I could do it. And frankly, she made me feel kind of special because she was special.
And Dad?
My dad, wonderful man, and a great sense of humor. He could make me laugh until milk came out of my nose. And just a wonderful, fun, great man. And I wasn't afraid to laugh. And I think he taught me that you can laugh at yourself as well. And that's a good lesson to learn.
You got a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree in Communication Design from Rochester Institute of Technology, and then you embarked on a 23-year glorious career in the advertising, art, and film production industry. Talk about that chapter in your life.
Oh, that's a long one. My first job was working in the mat room at WB Donor & Company. And I would work with the magic markers, and all the famous art directors and creative people would be coming in and giving me their ideas and asking me for layouts, and those were wild times. And with Marcy Brogan was there in those days, great people. And I launched from there to J. Walter Thompson, where I was an art director, and I worked on Champion spark plugs and WXYZ TV and Vic Tanney. That was what I did initially. And then it was during the time, I think, of affirmative action, early affirmative action. They must have been looking for somebody they saw a little promise in, because I all of a sudden was trained in public speaking at Communispond and asked to go into account work. And they gave me a little more money, and I thought, okay, this sounds like something good. I'll try this for a while. I had success at that. In the meantime, I was married, and the babies came along, and I had to leave J. Walter Thompson and reinvent myself as a creative person while raising a family. I tried to put what I had learned in my career so far and in my time at Rochester Institute of Technology, where we did short subject films and commercials that were medium price. We couldn't compete with the big agencies, with the big production companies, and we didn't want to do the small things either. So, but we were good middle range, and I enjoyed that very much, and I was able to do that part-time while I raised the children. I started a small company called Campbell & Company, and I made leaf tarps. I found a place in Brooklyn, New York, to make something that I thought would be useful for other people as well. And then I taught myself how to sell, and I went to the various hardware stores and so forth around, and so I hustled. I hustled that while I was doing art and design work at home as well.
We're talking to Denise Lutz, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Denise Lutz, who has a lot of loves, a lot of passions. One of them are horses.
I do, Jack. I do. I have some beautiful, beautiful Belgian warmbloods that I have raised with my daughter and trained, and they are now competing in some show jumping competitions that are making me proud.
Dressage. What is it?
Dressage is is the ultimate discipline, and it takes a very, very good rider to be a good dressage competitor.
You live in Versailles, Kentucky, and you have a horse farm, and next door, the neighbors are Windstar Farms. Iconic for thoroughbreds. Talk about Windstar Farms, if you would.
Windstar is one of the most successful breeding operations. It was founded by Kenny Trout from XL Communications. When AT&T split up, he and his partner bought up all the time, and they sold it off, and they made a fortune, and then they put that money into Windstar Farm, and which has grown over the last 15 years or so, 20 years, and is now encompassing about 2,700 acres. And at any given time, they have hundreds of horses there. Breeding season is... it's a very busy time of year there where the lights are on in the barns.
When you see these young thoroughbreds racing through the fields, what do you see?
I see free spirit. And I also see that there's always one that's out in the lead. Always one.
When people think of Kentucky, the first two things they think of are horses and bourbon. So let's start with horses. Why is Kentucky synonymous with horses?
Well, first of all, the soil is very compatible to horses. It is lime-rich, which makes the grass grow, and horses seem to do well.
And bourbon is the second.
It must be the water.
Down the street from your place is Calumet Farms, home of the most famous thoroughbred maybe in the history of the World Secretariat. Won the Triple Crown in 73. I think he still holds the record for all three, Kentucky Derby, Belmont, and the Preakness, still to this day.
Do you know the Secretariat had the largest heart?
Yes.
Of any horse?
When he died, ever? Right? When he died.
Well, when he died, the vet didn't know. I mean, no one knew what his secret was until after he died, and the vet did the autopsy on him. And it was at least 33% greater in size than the average horses.
All right. Another love, another passion that you have is a love for nature.
Very much. I find peace in the outdoors. Having grown up in Michigan from a very early age and have enjoyed the lakes and the trees here and the open fields that we have in the state, I love the water. I love the light. I love the smells. If we take the time to go outside, we see some amazing gifts that we have. It's a beautiful world that we live in.
You've really gotten into photography and you've become world class at it.
Oh, thank you.
Let's talk about photography.
Okay. Well, I went to Rochester Institute of Technology, and so I was exposed at, I guess, an early age to fine composition and to the best. And then having been an art director and in a position to hire photographers and being very particular about my my end product, being on the other side of the camera and taking the pictures myself gives me great joy. I carry my cell phone with me everywhere I go. I think we all do that now. And when I see it, I take a picture of it, and I like to share. Just recently, I had an exhibition at the Robert Kidd Gallery in Birmingham, and I had some of my favorite landscape photographs and animals that were framed and matted and framed and signed and sold for charity. The proceeds going to Linda Solomon's Pictures of Hope.
Your eyes see things that most of our eyes don't see. We're oblivious to this beauty. How can we learn to be observant and see things that you see?
I think we have to look. You know, we have to open our eyes to the beauty that is around us. We have to take the time to consider it a priority because life is short.
We're talking to Denise Lutz, who's also an author. She's just completed her second and third book, but when we come back, we're going to talk to her about her first book, recently published, entitled Thumbs. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything's Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Denise Lutz, an avid pilot, equestrian, car enthusiast, photographer, a lover of nature animals, philanthropist, humanitarian, and author. So let's go with the last, an author. You've just published a novel entitled Thumbs.
We've just launched the book, published by Rabbit House Press. It's called Thumbs. It is available on Amazon, also barnesandnoble.com. And if you call your local Barnes & Noble store, you can order it from them. And I hope you do, because it's a fun story. It's about Modest Catherine, 45. She wants to make things work again in bed with her recently retired husband, Jack. In her ticking clock fear of mortality, that's hers and his, she also hopes to get the stingy chemical company magnate, the father of Agent Brown, to beef up her paltry widow's pension. It's 2011, and narcissist Jack thinks he has invented sexting, a promising tool, and Otis the Basset Hound is making discoveries of his own, namely the 80-year-old's erotic gadgets. Everybody seems to want something from Jack. After Catherine nabs Jack in the hot tub with his personal assistant, the ever-innocent but suspicious wife counts on him to go straight. After all, they are St. Louis's golden couple with a reputation to uphold. But Jack's borrowed phone reels her into an eye-popping world with a dead teenage girl and other women, and she doubts that Jack can save himself. Meanwhile, the German housekeeper's gaslighting escalates Catherine's fear of insanity until the assistant's husband, a sadistic hitman for the mob, shows her who is really crazy. And her smitten but timid attorney hopes to thwart the blackmailer's plot to kill her, but two devil-fearing dumpster divers have a different plan. So,
why the name
the story.
Thumbs?
Well, the thumbs have to do with how Jack's thumbs would fly like little gnat wings on his iPhone.
If you want to buy it, rabbithousepress.com. Rabbithousepress.com, or you can buy it through Amazon or at bookstores.
That's right.
So that one's published. Can you give us a little preview? You've got two more in the works.
The next book is Lipschitz House. My characters all are very—they're all very quirky. This is the comic or humorous thriller genre. And Lenore Lipschitz her problem is she has a blurting disorder, and she has no filter, and she can't keep a job because she always gets herself in trouble with what she says. So the book opens where she's in tenement housing and she's getting thrown out, but she witnesses what she thinks is a murder, but she's not really sure because she hasn't taken her pills because there's no water in the building. But she thinks she has witnessed a murder. And to coincide with that, she finds that she's the recipient of an old house in Lexington, Kentucky. After all the bills are paid from her great-great-aunt Esther, she may have enough money to have a bed and breakfast of her own and therefore be able to have her own business because she can never keep a job. So she goes to Lexington, Kentucky. She finds more than she bargained for in this old house. I'll just say that.
And the third book?
The third book has to do with a man named Michael Nicholson. And Michael Nicholson is a kind of down-on-his-luck cowboy, jack-of-all-trades kind of oil man, rancher guy. He has a broken heart. And he runs into an associate who convinces him to come to the hills of Kentucky to run his oil operation. But the oil operation, when he gets there, he finds is a front for the world's largest meth lab under production in the hills. So that's that story.
We're talking to Denise Lutz, and everyone who ever meets her walks away saying, that is one phenomenally classy lady.
Oh, thank you.
When we come back, we're going to ask her, how did she get that way? And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Denise Lutz, and her newest book is entitled Thumbs. All right. Classiness. You have it on a scale of 10, you've got an 11. Everybody that's ever been around you, Denise says, phenomenally classy lady. How did that come to be?
Oh, Jack, I think my mother was so classy. She set the standard high for me. Always thinking of other people, putting yourself in other people's shoes. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I quote you now. You were once asked, who were you most impressed with in life? And you said, beyond the presidents, Mother Teresa, and those who have made it to the top of the fields, I would have to say the people who have little material wealth to share, but are generous to others with less and will stop their day to help a stranger. I see it in the country. I see it in the people of Kentucky every day.
I have met all kinds of people. I've met presidents. I've met ambassadors. I've met company presidents and famous race car drivers. And throughout my career and my life, I've met people from all walks of life. And some of the most important people in my life are the ones who are not necessarily special and that people would say were successful, but that they do things for other people. I ring the bell at Salvation Army every year, and then my red jacket, and you know, things like that. I try to give back to the community. I try to help animals and people, and join organizations that help other people, like the Kentucky Colonels and the 99s and the Whirly Girls, and that help people with scholarships. And very early when I was in the I worked for Screen Vision Cinema Network. I was the regional manager of Screen Vision Cinema Network, and we were the largest cinema advertising company in the world. And we would throw very, very big parties for scholarships, for advertising scholarships. And I've worked with various charities and trying to combine, using my creative thinking skills, to combine interests and charities to make them larger. God is really, he's been very good to me. He's kept his eye on me because, for instance, combining two entities, we had the DSO, we had the Michigan Opera Theater, and we had a tango party out at the farm in Ann Arbor with 500 people. We had benefactors who were all given tango lessons for the tango contest, and the ambassador to Argentina was there, and the American ambassador to Argentina, and we had Argentine wine, and we had a tango troupe from Argentina come up with crystal chandeliers and a grand piano on the stage and lights and singers from the Michigan Opera Theater. And you know something? It had rained every day for about a week before the party. The sun came out, and it was the most beautiful evening ever. And about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, the wind came up, and the tent collapsed. Everything came crashing down. The crystal chandelier, the grand piano, the scaffolding, the French doors. And when I walked out in the morning and I saw that I had a level field, this was at the farm that was connected, this big, big tent connected to the barn, I thought, oh my God, aren't we lucky? And my life has been like that. And I've had a very interesting life with many wonderful people, but I've found since living in Kentucky with a very, very common people who have very, very little and they live hand to mouth, they are sometimes the most generous people.
We're talking to Denise Lutz, who has so many passions and so many loves. Another one, Denise, is a love of flying, and especially helicopters.
My father was a private pilot, and when I was growing up, he showed me the world of aviation, and what little girl doesn't want to fly with her dad? I have always had a passion for planes and airports and the smell of jet fuel for some reason. It's kind of silly, but I find when I'm in the air, I find that same sense of solitude and freedom, and I see how beautiful this earth is. Oh my gosh. If I'm in Michigan, all of the lakes and the rivers and the fields and the color, especially this time of year, or in Kentucky, the hills and the horse farms the beautiful farms. And from a helicopter, you can also see what people have in their yards. Just some interesting cars, cars and trucks.
Speaking of cars, a great car enthusiast, talk about your love for cars.
My first car was a Chevy 2 Nova station wagon, which I shared with a friend. We each put $200 into it and spent the summer bondoing it and sanding it. And then we finally took it to Earl Scheib and painted it Robin's Nest blue. And that was just the cat's meow. But since then, of course, throughout the years being an executive spouse for both Chrysler and GM, I was exposed to some really beautiful, beautiful cars, not just the ones that the car companies made, but the beautiful classic cars at the Concours d'Elegance and from year to year, Meadowbrook, beautiful, beautiful setting, which is now at the DIA this last year, which I had a car, the Cunningham, which is mine. I'm very proud of it, and it's a working car. It's drivable, and it's a lot of fun to drive. It was one of 27 made by Briggs Cunningham in 1953. It was Vignale bodied. It's a Cunningham C3 coupe. The designer in Italy was Giovanni Michelotti. It has a Chrysler Hemi engine. It's a 331 firepower, they called it.
And you won an award for that.
I did. I won best competition in sports car in the recent Concours. And then some of the most beautiful cars are, I think, the newer Lotuses and Bugattis. But from the past, those designed by Fagoni and Falchi. the Taobao Lago and the Delaye, like the 1937, beautiful, beautiful designs. The Ferrari 250 GTO, beautiful. And as Enzo Ferrari said, he thought the most beautiful car ever designed was the 1960s Jaguar E-Type. I like to go to car events at the Miles, where you drive your car and meet interesting people and see their cars and share that. So that's one of the beautiful aspects of that hobby.
Denise Lutz, thanks for all you do. And please keep doing all your passions. Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Grasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.